week, they'll enjoy this.
It's the emblem for me and for you. It's the emblem of the team we love, the team of the red and the blue. Every heart beats true for the red and the blue, and we sing this song to you.
They monstered, they bullied. It was almost a four-quarter performance from Melbourne today. There were a couple of lapses in the final stage, but that's if we're getting really, really picky this afternoon, because they demonstrated that they are still one of the top contenders in 2021. The final score again on the Victoria Police Appliance Hour scoreboard, 18-21-28, Melbourne defeating the Gold Coast Suns by 98 points, 4-6-30.
It's a grand old flag, it's a high-flying flag, it's the emblem for me and for you. It's the emblem of the team we love, the team of the red and the blue. Every heart beats true for the red and the blue, and we sing this song to you.
Goals to Ben Brown and Luke Jackson, most of those occurring in the opening half of play. Bailey Fritch finished with two goals. Max Gawn kicked two, including that ripper down at the locket end from the fence. He somehow snapped it through. It was a brilliant goal. Cozzy Pickett with a couple of highlights as well with his two goals. Tom McDonald, who was subbed out of the game, kicked a goal. Clayton Oliver, Christian Petracca and Charlie Spargo, the goal kickers for the Ds. While for the Suns, there was only four of them. Burgess, Corbett, Flanders and Sexton are their four goal kickers. This afternoon at Marvel Stadium, completing the first game of the day here on AFL Nation for Athena Home Loans and for Victoria Police Apply. Now, as we head into our post-game show, Jeno, the thing that kept us engaged this afternoon was just the dominant display from Melbourne. They gave no quarter today to a disappointing Gold Coast Suns, which responded in the first term. I think it was about between the 15-minute mark and the 25-minute mark. They really gave it a red-hot crack, and they got it back to within 6 points. But then the game just broke open. Melbourne clicked into top gear and never looked back.
So coming into the game, I was interested to see, well, what are Melbourne going to look like in terms of getting their form back, which I believed in. I've never wavered from that. I think the style of football they play stacks up in finals, and it stacks up in the big finals. So I think to win a premiership, you need to find a way through this team. And when I say find a way through it, you talk about today, they needed to improve accuracy, okay? So all day long, they're bringing that ball back into the channel, right? They're bringing it to the top of the goal square. Now, if they don't mark it and get a good shot at goal, the ball comes to deck, and you just saw Alex Neil, Bullen, Spargo. We talked about 18 players playing their role. They locked it in their forward 50. And I can't remember a game like it where the opposition, they'd kick short, and then Melbourne would pick it off. They could not get it out of 60 to 70 metres from their back half. And that takes a phenomenal defensive unit for that to happen. So coming here today, can Melbourne get their form back? I believe that they would, and they did. I did not think it would be this emphatic. Could they? Now, today they've kicked 18-20. You can say it's not accurate. But when you kicked 18 goals, that's enough. It's about hitting the scoreboard.
And about five posters.
So the conversation, in a sense, wasn't just about accuracy. It was about Melbourne hitting the scoreboard. So clearly they've trained a few things, getting the ball to good spots. They've got their small forwards up and about in terms of their forward pressure. So they were creating second and third and fourth opportunities. And you saw Gold Coast defenders, they were just under so much pressure, they'd end up giving away a free kick. So The reason why I felt like Melbourne would get their game back, it wasn't like Melbourne were trying not to score. They were getting opportunities. They were just missing them. But what I saw with Melbourne is they'd go quick off turnovers, right? And they just didn't quite finish their plays. This is in the last month. But when they were in the back half, they were trying to use the corridor. You saw Hunt's run from the back half today. So important. So it wasn't like they've just gone, we are a defensive team and that's it. No, no, they're a defensive team that tries to score off the back of that. So I felt like they'd get their game back. They've done it emphatically. today, and it's a real wake-up call to the rest of the competition that this team is a seriously good team, and it's a reminder to everybody, you don't win 22 games in a row. Every team, there's a rhythm to the season. There's season context. You will lose games. What's important for Melbourne is they build into the finals now. They'll have so much confidence out of this game. This was a training run, but they made it that.
The argument will come the opposition wasn't the strongest opposition, so that probably lends itself to the fact that it was such a high score. That's irrelevant today because the intent and purpose with every passage of play that they got their hands on the footy, they put it to the sword, and if they play with that sort of intensity, that's almost the form that we saw in the first couple of months of footy this year from Melbourne.
Melbourne broke Gold Coast. So we talked about Gold Coast early. They were trying, but they were getting cleaned up at the centre bounce through Melbourne's ferocity around the footy. We couldn't stop calling Petraka, Oliver, and then you're calling the way Brayshaw setting up behind the footy to lock it in, and Lever and May and Petty, the way they're doing it. So Gold Coast aren't a team at this point in the season and in their development and in their coaching that should come to Marvel Stadium today and only kick four goals. Melbourne broke them absolutely with their ferocity at the footy. But they also broke the opposition coach's box today. So there was a time early in the game. We called it 10 minutes in to be aware of it. They're three goals down early at quarter time, okay? That's the sign. There was a clear pattern to the game. Two things. Gold Coast could not win a clearance and Gold Coast couldn't move the footy from the back half. Fix it. But it took till after half time for them to make that change. That's not good enough, okay? So what needed to happen? Throw some speed at the problem. What we've seen when Melbourne gets beaten, what do opposition teams do? Bulldogs is the one that comes to mind, and GWS. They put extra forwards around that contest so that they'd win it. They would use those extra numbers and bypass the Melbourne defenders. Today, for too long, an hour of footy, the game's already been lost. Gold Coast just play with six forwards, okay? And then they couldn't win a clearance. The ball's going in Melbourne's forward half. The pattern to it, top of the goal square. Melbourne either scoring, putting pressure on, and scoring on the second, third stoppage or the re-entry. So Melbourne broke them two ways, on the field with their players, and they just confused the opposition coach's box. And it's very rare you come to a game and you can sit back and watch your team perform the way Melbourne did today. Now, we're getting a little lighthearted in that fourth quarter with expectations, but at the end of the day, they've kept the team to four goals and kicked 8-10 themselves. I mean, that's not the bottom team in the competition. That's a team that knows how to play, knows what they're doing, an experienced coach's box. That's an incredible performance by Melbourne.
And they'll be just a little bit disappointed bringing back that lightheartedness that they didn't quite get the triple-figure margin that they desired. 98 points, the final score here at Marvel. Let's quickly run through our awards before we hand over to the Essendon and Sydney match, which gets underway in around half an hour's time at the MCG. The rookies of the day, well, we alluded to those in the dying stages of the match for MEGT, your local apprenticeship experts. Joel Jeffrey on debut today, did a few good things when the ball was in his vicinity, so I think you can, it's a pass mark for him, but the one that really impressed us was Jake Bowie. His composure with the footy, his attack and endeavour, he looks comfortable at the level.
So in context, you put those two players in different jumpers and the roles are reversed, but what I mean, the most beautiful thing is these two boys are AFL players. No one can ever take that off them, and it's up to them now. There's a lot of work to do. But they've joined an illustrious club and their families must be so proud. So whichever team you're on, it doesn't matter. Your kid is now an AFL footballer, so good luck to them for the future.
And both coming from pedigrees, given their fathers also played at the elite level. MEGT supporting employers and apprentices for over 40 years. The hanger of the day for hangmytv.com.au, because that's what they do. Well, you could nearly have given it to Bowie if he had just claimed it. Of course, Lever and May did some, as they do with their intercept marking.
And Petty was important to that system, so they marked it because Petty's getting a job done. I mean, he was great today, Petty, but you didn't need to call him because the other boys were intercepting. But it's also the role of Gawn getting back there. And also, Gold Coast played into their hands because they were so slow moving the footy that by the time they kicked inside 50, Melbourne had 18 players set up perfectly. So May and Lever, though, they're taking marks all day long today.
The goal of the game for Instant Windscreens, broken windscreen call. Instant Windscreens 132-444. I think that's an easy one, given what Max Gorn did down the lock at the end of the ground. I don't care what anyone can argue with me all day long, but that was a sensational goal and a real captain's goal as well. And you called it.
I had a feeling.
Halfway through the third quarter, he had that glint in his eye of, I can do anything today.
I know what he's talking about now, that he could have kicked five, because I saw him try to crumb a ball. He got to the back of a pack because he didn't want to go up for it because he saw a sneaky one out the back. I'm having a bit of fun here, but he could have got on the end of a few more. But the thing with Gorney, he's read the moment, all right? So if they're a point down, 10 minutes to play, he's not having that shot unless he really, really has to. But he's just that sort of person. He just looked like he was enjoying himself today. And enjoying yourself takes some hard work. They had to get the job done, but everything was just coming off for them. And it's one of those things. You don't need anyone in your team to be best on ground. You just want 18 players playing their role. And that's why Petracca and Oliver and Gorney and May and Lever, they're all able to dominate today because everyone was playing a part of that.
And any one of those could have been the one player that you could count on across the day. For one beer, a beer you can count on. The tackle or tackler of the day for Toro for the home ground advantage. Count on Toro. Leading the tackles, Took Miller with 10. Was there a specific tackle that caught your eye? Or it was just, I'll take this one back. Yeah. The fact that Petrarca broke every tackle that was almost applied to him today.
That's incredible.
We'll go the reverse there for Toro. You can count on it. The Bendix Brakes, big moment. Confidence stopping Bendix Brakes. It was the ability for Melbourne to put the foot down in the early stages of that second term. And that's, you talk about breaking the spirit of the Suns. That's when it broke.
Yeah, and Tom McDonald, first shot at goal, boundary line. He trains that routine and he nails it, gets them off to a really good and positive start. So sometimes you need that early in a game, and Tom provided it off the back of his training and work ethic.
The sustained performer for Host Plus, we go with you.
Take your pick, but I couldn't go past Petracca. Now, I know he wasn't as effective in the second half, didn't need to be. When the game was there to be won, him and Oliver went to town.
Host Plus, official superannuation partner of the AFL, and you could give that category as well for the toughest player for Happy Tint. Happy Tint, your home, your office, your car, happytint.com.au. The unmissable moment for Drinkwise. You won't miss a moment if you drink wise. Broad category today, the fact of just how dominant, you couldn't miss that, how dominant Melbourne were today as a unit. It's been one of the question marks over the last couple of weeks, but the way that they played today was just as emphatic as what the final score was.
That forward 50 pressure is as good as you'll see in any AFL game in the last 5 years.
The injury wrap for Sudox Active, muscular and joint pain relief. Follow the directions for use. Tom McDonald was subbed out of the match, just waiting to hear exactly what that was. James Jordan came in. Will Brody, the inactive sub this afternoon for the Gold Coast Suns. Before we get Geno's votes, a quick look at the ladder. So Melbourne remain 2 points behind the Dogs and Cats at the top end of the table. And then down the bottom end, the Suns have dropped to 15th as a result of today's encounter for 40 winks. Any size matters. The price of single at 40 winks. About a minute left on the clock. Geno, you're 3-2-1 for us. For safety steel sheds designed to save, built to last.
You put 20 people doing these votes, I think you can come up with a different combination and nobody will be wrong. So I'm going to go with Christian Petracca because he was so important when it was there to be won, but it should be really a tie between him and Oliver. So let's go Petracca, Oliver. And it was so consistent. Now, Took Miller is stiff from the opposition. But let's go with Luke Jackson. 4 goals. And he allowed Gorn to be able to play behind the footy and help that defence set up. So in terms of his team role, hit the scoreboard. But always was also valuable in allowing his teammates to play their part as well.
They're the votes from Geno and our local achiever today as well, Jake Bowie. 13 disposals on debut. 92% efficiency. Played with Hyatt as a junior. And no doubt they would have been happy with his achievement. For Lowe's, the local petroleum people, keeping regional Australia pumping. News wrap for the Renault traffic, built for business. No late changes for the Swans and Essendon game, which is coming your way next. Braden Ham and Dylan Stevens, the two subs, as this weird and wonderful day continues. The smorgasbord of footy we've got here on AFL Nation this afternoon. It was Melbourne by 98 points at Marvel Stadium. Thanks very much to Craig Jennings for joining us this afternoon.
Well done, Melbourne. Enjoy that win. That's amazing. Your team is on track.
Thanks for being with us here. Thanks to Athena Home Loans and Victoria Police.